This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanisen and Noel Lim. We have been running a poll so this morning on the BFM Twitter account at BFM Radio, asking you, do you think jobs creation should trump environmental protection as we recover from the pandemic? Do let us know what you think. How is it looking so far, Roshan?
23% say yes, job creation should always trump the environment. 14% say yes for now. 12% say no. And 50% now want both. They simply answer, can't we have both?
So 150 votes so far, still about an hour left to weigh in. But in the meantime, we're taking a look at the private higher education sector in Malaysia, where it's looking a little bit bleak, since institutions are expected to see the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic for the next 5 to 6 years. So with travel restrictions in place, the number of new international students has dropped significantly, according to the Malaysian Association of Private Colleges and Universities. According to them, private higher education institutions usually anticipate an intake of around 20,000 to 30,000 new foreign students yearly. In fact, industry players were initially aiming for at least 7,000 to 8,000 foreign students this September and October.
And on top of that, 41% of private higher education institutions in the country were already making continuous losses over a 3-year period since 2016, and the association estimates that around 100 of them are expected to close this year. Observers are calling for more structural solutions for the survival of these private higher education institutions.
So for more on this, this morning we're checking in with Dr. Jeffrey Williams, professor at HELP University. Professor, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Now, how grave is the situation for private higher education universities and colleges? Will we see a majority of these institutions close down, in your opinion?
Hi, good morning. Well, the last time that we spoke about this was just a few months ago, and we were actually quite downbeat at that time. But we were expecting and hoping that the impact would be quite short. So we were hoping that by this time in the year, we would be all back on campus and we would be seeing intake start to rise and the international students come back. And in fact, we were all prepared for that at the beginning of October. And then at the last minute, unfortunately, we were told not to turn up. And now, depending on where your campus is, the lockdown is even worse. So. I think, unfortunately, it is worse than we thought earlier in the year. And I think that the survey that's been done by MAPCU in particular, and also some of the data that comes out of the ministry, is unfortunately confirming that.
Now, when we talk about the particular situation here, what effects are to be expected if we start seeing institutions start closing down? Perhaps you can give us an indication of the importance or the role of private higher education in the country.
I think that very many people don't understand that actually private higher education is the largest part of our higher education system. We have the majority of the students in private universities, and the majority of the faculty are in private universities as well. We also have a very large number of institutions. We have about 100 universities and university colleges, and about 350, about 350 private colleges. So it's a very large infrastructural activity, and it's strategically very important for the country as well, because this is where we are developing our human capital for the future, to go forward in terms of future of work, in technology development and competitiveness globally. And so we can't afford to allow the higher education industry to continue with these problems. Now, these have been structural issues that I in particular have been speaking about for more than 5 years. But I think now we are coming to a crisis point, and it's a real crisis. It's not just complaining that things are tough. Things are tough for everybody, but for the private universities, this is a structural problem. Now, if we were to see significant closures, let's say the MAPCU prediction, which was made earlier in the year, of 20% of the institutions closing, then we would see about 150,000 students affected by that. And that means that they would be at institutions which were not operating anymore. They would have to find somewhere else to study. And that would involve around 8,000 members of faculty and probably about 16,000 administrative staff. And that, in terms of faculty, that would be about a third of all faculty would be affected by this type of impact. So it's a massive impact, and it's That would be on the basis of a MAP coup projection early in the year, which is quite conservative because things are worse now.
Now, it appears, though, that the pandemic isn't the root cause necessarily of these institutions facing complete shutdowns, because data shows that 41% of these private higher education institutions were already making losses for the past three consecutive years. So what are the reasons behind why they were loss-making entities to begin with?
Yes, well, actually, the data from the ministry shows that 49% are in that category, that they have been loss-making for the last 3 years. So it's a little bit more than 41%. The main factors, as I mentioned last time, are poor leadership and poor management. And I know that my colleagues in the high, particularly amongst the vice chancellors and the owners, they don't like that. Last time I was told they have a WhatsApp group and they were really quite upset when I said that it's poor leadership and management. But it is, unfortunately, it's poor leadership and it's poor management. And our research has shown actually that foreign vice chancellors are the ones that have the worst performance. And part of that is because they are not familiar with the local environment. They come here from public universities where they're not required to raise revenue and recruit students so actively. And in a very competitive environment that we have, they struggle. The size of the institutions is also a factor. We have a large number of very small institutions which aren't economically viable. And then finally, the ownership of the institutions is an important factor. If the institution is owned by a GLC or it's a foundation, it tends to be in better shape because they can rely upon the owner to help them out through difficult times. But if it's a private organization, particularly if it's owned by a private individual, then when times get tough, the private individual has difficulty accessing capital to see them through the difficult period. And this is an extended difficult period now. It's not the 3 months that we were hoping for. It's actually full year. And you're right to say that this is going to take perhaps up to 5 years. Because if we lose students this year, that's revenue lost next year, because it's in the pipeline.
Now, with Budget 2021 coming up, what are you hoping for the government to include to assist private higher education?
Well, the government has actually done some work on structural reform of the private higher education system. And earlier in the year, they did publish a report which was called The Way Forward, Private Higher Education as an Industry. I would like to see some of these initiatives, which are very, very good initiatives, particularly for international students. I would like to see them move forward on that. But actually, what we need to focus on is structural reform for the private higher education system as a whole. At the root of this, I am extremely concerned about the impact of these financial problems in terms of PTPTN. Because last year, as you know, Wan Saiful, who is the chairman of PTPTN, produced a very, very good piece of research telling us all that PTPTN was really in a very difficult structural position and needed reform. 2014, 2015, we know that PTPTN also went through a very difficult period where it had to actually cut the allocations to students. Now, if it was struggling last year in 2019, when it had record repayment levels, how is it going to manage this year when it will have basically 9 months of nobody paying anything at all? Now, this is a very important and very serious problem, because at PTPTN is 50 billion ringgit. It's more than one MDC. And if they have problems repaying their debt, there is a potential risk of a sovereign debt default. And that is a very serious macroeconomic impact. Now, I believe that the budget must focus on that strategic risk, a very significant strategic risk. I've already written before that I believe that this debt needs to be addressed directly, that it can be monetized, taken away from the system, handled by the Treasury and Bank Negara and the Debt Management Office. And the savings that would be made from servicing this debt, because the government gave a subsidy of 2 billion ringgit per year just to subsidize this debt, those savings can be pumped into the system, not in terms of a general bailout, but in terms of a targeted bailout, where the government would use the savings to invest in private universities that are viable, conditional on reform. And that would mean reform of management, reform of the quality to the students, and perhaps a form of the structure of the system, including mergers and acquisitions and grouping together viable institutions to give them critical mass. So that's the type of thing that I think the government should focus on. And in terms of the budget coming up, the finance minister needs to provide firstly the finance for that, but also the strategic push for that. And I think that the higher education minister also needs to be helped and supported in moving forward on that agenda.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Professor. That was Dr. Geoffrey Williams, Professor at Help University, with some perspective on the struggle that the private higher education education institutions are facing at this point in time. Noel, what did you think of the conversation? All right.
Sorry. In this COVID-19 pandemic and era of digitalization, I think certainly the window for mediocrity has narrowed. So schools that don't have a clear advantage or don't stand for high quality or good reputation will probably have to close down eventually. I think we just cannot run away from that fact. I think then the question is students who are continuing their studies midway in those schools, how are you going to help them, right? So I think the government needs to step in. They need to probably intervene to monitor the progress and help them with the transition, maybe to move these students to another university.
Absolutely. So lots more needs to be done, I think. And we'll be watching the budget 2021 very closely as it's set to come out on November 6th. But right now we have the 8 o'clock news bulletin coming up for you and then the Breakfast Grill, where Roshan Kanisan speaks with Rafiq Razali, CEO of Rev Media Group. Be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.